tonight's Front Row with Mark Lawson.
Hello, we reflect on whether the smoking ban in French cafes will change the country's literature and thinking. Remember the American musicologist who gave a name to something Mozart often did, and explained why getting her hands on two small golden men prevented one film star from becoming a big golden actress. And hear from the man who gave us the sound of the athletes of the past and the replicants of the future. Neck and Neck, the theme tunes from Chariots of Fire and Blade Runner. Composer Vangelis talks later about putting notes to pictures. The tunes written for a movie's soundtrack are sometimes called incidental music, but in some cases the compositions become an incident as significant as the film. That's certainly the case with the scores provided by Vangelis, a specialist in electronic music, for Chariots of Fire and Blade Runner. But the music for Ridley Scott's futuristic drama was never heard entirely as Vangelis intended. Only now, to mark the 25th anniversary re-release of the film, has the full soundtrack of Blade Runner come out. In fact, it goes beyond the cinematic version with previously unheard or newly written material. In a rare interview, Vangelis spoke to me from his studio in Athens, surrounded by an array of keyboards, which, as you will hear, have become almost an extension of his voice. I suggested that since Chariots of Fire in 1981, the biggest change in his working life must have been the development in technology. So what does he use now?
Well, whatever I can find is available. The only difference is that, you know, in one hand, I agree and I'm for technology. On the other hand, I'm against it, because the way that it's been designed today, it takes you away from the spontaneity and from the human touch, because you have to follow the machines and to program, but I'm not doing that. I'm using a system which I design, and this system gives me the opportunity to get into different, let's call it synthesizers, I mean the sound sources. So whatever I do, I never pre-program anything, and everything's on the spot, one take. That's it. I mean, it sounds a little bit difficult or unbelievable, but this is the way I'm doing it.
So everything is done live?
Everything is done live. Everything. Never been programmed anything. I mean, I can give you an example.
Yeah, please.
Okay. I mean, what you hear now is not programmed.
Absolutely. Give me a sense of how different the technology, say, the technology you had available when you did Chariots of Fire, 81, and the kind you would have now.
Yes, I mean, compared to the keyboards we have today, almost nothing. But the approach and the system I used to, you know, to use is exactly the same. I never changed the approach. What I change is the source of sound, that's all.
So the soundscape you have available now is much, much larger.
Yes, larger, and the sound quality is better. But the playability is a big problem. And the way that you approach the situation today, you have to use computers, and you have to program, and you have to choose, and all these kind of things, which I can't do it that way. So I'm using the sound, and then I create my own system in order to bypass this difficulty and to be instant, immediate. Imagine you have a symphony orchestra in front of you, and you have a lot of instruments, and then what you have to do is to give the right amount of room during the, you know, the composition in order to create colors. And then as you create colors, you develop the whole composition.
So you are, in effect, you're a one-man orchestra.
Well, maybe if you say that, I'm much in the the street with the bass drum and like something like this. Yeah.
But as you know, the reason that the Chariots of Fire soundtrack stood out so much and got so much attention is that I think virtually any other composer would have gone for a period sound, and you didn't. Was that your instinct, or were you guided there by... Yes. That was you.
Well, I'm quite instinctive, and I believe in instinct, because it's a reason. You know, when we're in, we have an instinct, it's a reason to be like that. And I felt that for this opening scene was the right sound and the right approach. I don't know if you know the story.
Yeah.
We almost missed this piece of music because at the beginning it's been programmed, you know, this opening with another piece of music taken from one of my albums. But I was not very happy, and then the decision was taken the last day. Last day. I said, okay, try it, and if you don't like it, you don't use it. And this is what happened, and they did. And now that's why we have Chariots of Fire.
And when you saw it for the first time with the pictures, you thought, that's it.
Yes, but when I saw it, Hugh Hudson told me you shouldn't touch the opening scene because I already have the music, I decide with the music, and you do the rest. And he said, after all, it's your music, so it's no problem. And I said, yes, I don't disagree, but I think I can do better. And he said, you can't beat that one, it's good. Behind a story, a situation like this is always a funny story, you know.
Yeah.
You heard copyright there.
Blade Runner is not such a funny story, though, because it's taken a long, long time for your the music to be released as you wanted it.
Yes, yes. But unfortunately, it was not my decision, neither my wish. It just happened like that, and you know how difficult it's in this music business, and... you know, it was, I think, it may be a silly decision not to release it then, but I'm glad it's been released much later.
And also on the new 3 CD set, there is new music inspired by Blade Runner. So you sat down, presumably, you sat down and watched it again.
No. I watched it in a little bit, but not really. I know this film, you know, backwards. I watched it so many times before.
you talked about relying on instinct. One sign of that is that you were never taught music formally. You just started, really.
Yes, true.
Did people try to get you to take lessons? You just it's surprising to me that as a child, you somehow knew you didn't want to be taught.
Well, you know, the thing is that... I started very early, and of course that was, you know, very impressive thing for my parents, which fortunately they never stopped me to do whatever I felt. But as I started between 3 or 4 years old, they thought that maybe by the age of 7 I have to go to the music school, and it was a big disappointment. They never accepted. They tried desperately because they thought that this is the proper way to do things. But I was against music schools because I didn't understand. I understood music in a completely different way. And until today, I can't write and read music. So, you know.
And what were the musical influences on you? Because it doesn't seem obviously Greek in influence, but where the influence came from elsewhere?
I think the main influence always been nature. Mm. Because the way that I feel and understood music is not a way of listening something and copying. Or I mean, how can I explain? When you listen to something, I for me it's like a code. When I listen to a melody, I listen of course to the melody, but I listen to something else behind the melody. And this happens because maybe I start very early. And the way that I understood the world around me is through music, through sound. Therefore, it's kind of language that either I speak or don't speak. All the rest, it's details, and it's not important.
Could you just talk us through your keyboard and what you have there? Just a sense of the number, the range of sounds you have.
a range of sounds. Okay, give me three notes, four notes of a tune or something that you decide.
Well, why not start with the first four notes of Chariots of Fire and then see where you go?
Oh, it will sound corny.
No, go on. You should do it. It's yours.
Like this.
Variations on a theme by Vangelis. The Blade Runner Trilogy 25th Anniversary CD box set is available now.